Welcome back to the Charlie Intel podcast. My name is Mike Kent, and of course, I am joined by Keshav Bhatt, my co-host. We've got a packed week of content, of course. I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of what we'll be looking at. So we're going to look at the first massive patch of Black Ops Cold War. This includes changes to weapons, streaks, and more. Next up, we're going to talk about Shotzi's movement. He was known for breaking the game in Infinite Warfare, and he's back in Black Ops Cold War. But there's also been, for the competitive fans out there, Cold War settings revealed for the competitive scene that we'll see initially at the start of 2021. This week's guest is none other than Aiden, Fortnite superstar turned Call of Duty Warzone superstar. We got a chance to sit down with him and talk about Warzone, Fortnite, and Cold War. So pretty interesting interview. Great guy, and looking forward to you guys hearing that. And finally, there's more content coming to Modern Warfare, which we'll discuss. The first thing we discussed this week has been a massive update for Cold War, or the first big update for the game since release. Now, Keshav seemed to be pretty weapon-based.
Yeah, I mean, this was a big patch update, and right after launch, a lot of people were complaining about sort of the weapons, the MP5, all these different guns. And to our surprise, Treyarch came right out, you know, 1 week later, a massive patch that truly changed, I think, how some players felt about the game and what weapons they're using in the game, right? I mean, they changed the assault rifles, the FFAR, which we talked about last week. You know, they've increased the recoil. They've made it, you know, more so of a weapon that's not sustainable anymore, right? We were seeing so many CDL pros as well as just pub stompers who were trying to play using that all the time. That's off the table for many players. They're trying to look for new guns to play. And submachine guns, also the MP5, you know, a gun that was absolutely shredding for the first week. They patched that up. I think the patch is a pretty good patch for the MP5, personally. My play experience after the update, I think they kind of nailed it in how that weapon should be balanced. But, you know, now it makes the other SMGs more viable. So overall, it's a good patch. And the M16 was also nerfed, which I think a lot of players loved it at first. I think a lot of players liked the M16 because it reminded them of Black Ops 1. But now the nerf has sort of brought it in line with what Cold War is, not necessarily previous games. So there's a lot of good stuff in this patch. I think almost every weapon was touched a little bit. I'd say they did somehow buff the Magnum pistol. I don't know why they did that, but they did. I saw a lot of people saying that they got like a 30 kill game just using that. So that's interesting to see how people sort of find out different guns, try things out. So the weapons were a massive change. Just 1 week in, right? They're already changing the meta. And it also extended to score streaks, this update, which is something that I think is interesting, right? We had the alpha, we had the beta, a lot of feedback from players from there. At launch, there wasn't many changes to score streaks, but then a week later, they're already changing them, right? You know, the combat bow has been nerfed a little. They have changed the score streak value, so the amount of score you need for multiple different streaks. And most importantly, I think they buffed the attack helicopter. You know, a lot of people were complaining how it just comes in the map, shoots a couple of people, gets shot down. Not anymore. The damage has been increased. The health of it's been increased. So I think there's a really good group of changes that they brought in for the first major update to the game.
Have you still been playing a lot? And, you know, what's been your kind of experience of the update? I know you mentioned the MP5, yeah. But have you noticed a lot of change with, you know, what guns people are using in lobbies, for example?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing a little bit. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, but I've been playing, you know, I personally still have been using the MP5 just because I want to get that max level, and with how weapon XP in this game, it takes forever. I have seen some variety. You know, people are using different SMGs a little bit. But I think, you know, 1 week in, a lot of people got comfortable with the MP5 that they started to use it and sort of continuing using it. But, you know, the Type 63, we're seeing some other assault rifles, AK. So AK-74U now, a lot of the players are jumping on. So there is some good variety that's coming in. But I still love the MP5. I've always loved the MP5 in previous COD games, and I'm still trying to get that to max level. But yeah, definitely a shift in the overall balance and what weapons people are using in the game.
So now we're going to jump to a clip of three different people who are quite high profile. So we've got Nameless, who is a former Call of Duty pro, turned caster, turned podcaster. We've got Octane, who's a COD pro for Seattle Surge. And we've got Exclusive Ace, who's well known for his YouTube videos breaking down weapons. Let's see what they had to say.
Big change that they made to the game was the FFAR1 got nerfed hard. Like, it's not even usable anymore in competitive play. They increased recoil. They slightly reduced the max damage by 3.5%, 28 to 27, so not crazy. But they reduced the max damage range by 34%. and the recoil got increased a ton as well. So it got nerfed into the ground. They kind of, I think, over nerfed it.
It is unusable how bad it is. The gun is unusable. Literally horrible. Not even considerable.
All of the sniper rifles got the same nerf, so this applies to all three of them. First up, our shooting movement speed was reduced, and apparently this is intended to make each shot feel more powerful than it really is. Then they also slightly nerfed the sprint to fire time, and this was basically just to better match the animation of the sprint out time with the sniper rifles. And keep in mind, like I've mentioned before, the stated sprint out times in these in-game stats, they're not actually accurate. So the sniper rifle sprint out time isn't actually this slow, it's quite a bit faster than this, but there was a slight nerf just to better match the animations. At the end of the day, these changes don't really impact the effectiveness of the sniper rifles at all.
Most submachine guns got nerfed a little bit. They buffed the MP5 back to where it should be, so I like that because the MP5 is going to be super good. But some of the other machine guns, obviously, they're not going to be as powerful from range. But getting rid of the FR, it's going to make these subs a little bit more true subs. The FR won't is not the gun anymore, so it's not going to gun the submachine guns up close.
So some interesting insight from the likes of Nameless and Octane there, both basically saying that in the competitive environment, the FFAR is dead in this current form. Nameless even saying they've taken it too far. And we'll have to see what happens in the kind of competitive scrims and what's been happening over the last few weeks and going forward. You know, we know players are constantly trying to, or especially professional players, are constantly trying to work out what's the most viable weapon. And obviously the FFAR was there. And it seems to have gone to the bottom of the pile. So interesting to see if Treyarch do anything about that.
Yeah, I was just going to add, I mean, the sniper rifles also was a change that Exclusive Ace mentioned too. And it's, you know, players were upset when they first saw the changes. I don't think the changes have impacted the gameplay that much. But, you know, Tony Flame did tease on Twitter that there's a buff coming for the Barrett. So I think that's something for sniper players to keep an eye out for whenever that next update comes out.
Okay, next up, we're going to discuss Shotzi. CDL 2020 MVP, obviously won the entire competition with Dallas Empire. Now, during Modern Warfare, he was well known for the way that he was able to manipulate the mechanics of the game. You know, he really kind of pioneered a lot of the sort of the movement that pro players became synonymous with, just the way that they'd move around the map, still the way that a lot of Warzone players move around the map. And a lot of that came off the back of Shotzi, who was basically just, you know, he's a multi-game player, so he came from Halo. Obviously, that game's a lot about movement, and he kind of incorporated that into Modern Warfare and his transition over to COD. Now, he's come into Black Ops Cold War, and he's already released a video where he basically has just started to kind of do all these crazy movements, find out all these places on the map. You know, there's things like the Shotzi drop, stuff like that. So, Keshav, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the video of him, but, you know, are you surprised at all the Shotzi's coming and do this? Because everyone expected it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. I think, you know, he's one of the best out there. And I usually watch his videos to get tips on how to get better at moving in the game, especially because, you know, they play on controller as well. I play on controller. So watching his videos are very helpful to get better at Call of Duty in general.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the way that he's able to kind of look at a game and be like, right, I need to do this, I need to do that, that's going to get me in a better position. And, you know, we're obviously seeing him do all this stuff already, and it's only a few weeks into the game. God knows what it's going to be like in 6 months when he's just kind of flying around the map, jumping off the walls. So really excited to see it. And, you know, I think it's just, for me, as a competitive fan of Call of Duty, it's great to see that kind of initiative from a young player to kind of really, you know, instead of just doing the traditional Call of Duty style run and gun, you know, he's kind of made movement such an important part of the competitive scene. And such an important part of Call of Duty. So really looking forward to seeing what he can do over the next few months. Next up, we're going to discuss the Cold War competitive settings. Now, they've been released. They've already been changed since they've been released. So I don't know if you want to talk through what happened, Keshav, and what has been banned.
Yeah, so they released the competitive settings, which was, you know, something that the esports players and competitive players always are waiting for. This year, they did wait till after the launch of the game to announce the settings, which is kind of different. Last year was the week before. So they did take their own little time here with these settings. But, you know, the first, you know, reaction that everybody had was about the Semtex ban, which was very unexpected. We've never seen a Semtex being banned before in competitive ever. I mean, I think at most we've seen the C4 ban as a lethal equipment, not the entire Semtex grenade. It was clear that that was actually ending up being a mistake, I guess, because a couple of days after the settings were released, Activision updated the website to saying the Semtex is no longer restricted. which was, you know, it was good to see that, because without the Semtex, I think everyone spamming frags in CDL would be insane. Semtex has a nice balance, sort of, that you can cook a grenade and stuff like that. You know, I think the other interesting part is the fact that the M16 and all those tactical rifles are still fully allowed. In Modern Warfare, they did ban some of the tactical rifles, which were overpowered. This year, they're keeping them in. And I guess the last major point for me is from the settings is the fact that, you know, the map selection in Cold War is very limited, right? There's 8 6v6 maps. And so, you know, we've seen with Modern Warfare and other games how watching the same map over and over again gets kind of repetitive at some point. And I feel like this year is going to be the same thing. You know, we have Hardpoint, Search and Destroy, and Control. You know, we got Checkmate map across all three of them. Garrison, Moscow, all on them. So there's gonna be a lot of repetition when you watch the competitive streams this year, unless they add more maps in the future. You know, you're gonna have map vetoes where if someone likes Checkmate, you'll have Hardpoint Checkmate, Search and Destroy Checkmate, Control Checkmate, the same map for a whole best of five series. So I think map variety is the biggest sort of worrisome overall, but you know, the settings are what they are. You know, they work with the community, they work with Treyarch, and we have our first rules. I'm sure the settings will be changed as new weapons come out, new equipment comes out. So a good base to get us started, but a lot of changes still need to be made.
Yeah, so we're just going to read through a few tweets from members of the competitive community. First up, we had Miles Ross, who's a commentator. He said, "Can't believe we use forward intel. Shake my head." Next up, we had Silly of the LA Gorillas. He said, "Loading up Cartel HP with my M16 right now." We also had Challenger player Zinx, who kind of summed it up for everyone hates Cartel. "Nope, we are not playing Cartel HP. That's where we draw the line as a community." People obviously very disappointed with Cartel as a map. And, you know, one thing we haven't actually discussed this week, but there was a glitch with Cartel where some of the bushes disappeared and everyone was like, "Wow, it's amazing." And whether it actually play well, we don't know. But, you know, we've talked about it, I think, in every episode so far about the bushes on Cartel and how they need to go. And to be honest, because of the amount of feedback the community have given Treyarch on how much they hate the bushes in Cartel, you've got to think that they're going to implement some sort of change with it.
Yeah, I think one thing that I noticed on Reddit, because that glitch went all over Reddit too, was some people were saying if every single bush goes, it might make the map a little bit insane, because there is no cover when you know playing domination, especially the B flag is right in the center next to that truck, so you lose some of the cover angles. But I mean, that image of that glitch actually made that map seem like an enjoyable map for the first time. I wonder how it played for those people who got the glitch, because you know, you can see people, you know, without having to find their head or let your aim assist drag you to somebody in the bushes around the corner or something like that. So yeah, I hope Treyarch, you know, just brings something and removes some of them. Not remove all of them, but remove some of them to help with the visibility on that map.
Now it's time for one of my favorite guests that's been on the Charlie Intel podcast so far. It's Aiden, former Fortnite pro, now turned his attention to Call of Duty and Warzone. He's also been playing Call of Duty Cold War. We talked about everything from Dr. Disrespect saying that he was the best controlled player ever, all the way through to, you know, what he thinks about Cold War and what changes he'd like to see in both Cold War and Warzone. So we're going to throw over to an interview with him now. In this week's episode, we have a very special guest. We've got Aiden, formerly of Fortnite fame, and he's now turned his attention over to Warzone, should I say. Now, Aiden, I want to start off real quick about something that you've got praised by Dr. Disrespect himself as potentially being the greatest control player of all time. Now, I just want to throw that straight out there, but how do you feel about such an accolade?
It's very honorable, of course, especially from Doc, how big he is. He's one of the biggest, you know, creators right now. I think there are a lot of other talented controller players out there. For example, Shotzi, you know, he won a championship in Halo and just COD recently. That's right. Couple other people, like, I guess Formal also played Halo. I heard that in Karma. I didn't know these things. So they definitely, I definitely give them like a lot of props. But it's just an honor. Yeah. I mean, I've played Fortnite and Warzone. I've been doing well, so I understand where he's coming from. And on top of that, that world record game, which probably convinced him a little bit more, but I'll take it. I'm happy with that.
Do you have a similar compliment in return for the doc?
The doc? I mean, his mustache is looking real nice. I'm going to say that. I've been wanting to kiss it for quite some time now.
Awesome.
I would love to play with him too, but unfortunately the whole thing with Twitch, it's like,
yeah,
kind of makes it a little bit hard. So
So we're talking about Fortnite and Warzone. You know, you kind of blew up in Fortnite. What made you kind of switch over to play Warzone? And because you're kind of playing it primarily at the moment, I know you've kind of flirted back and forth, but what's made Warzone your primary game? Why is it so interesting to you?
So I was a Call of Duty player before Fortnite, so I already had that in me. But I really just started to lose interest for Fortnite, not because I thought it was bad. I still, to this day, I always say Fortnite is the best game of all time, in my opinion. What they've done, like, they've done so much. And I just think the game is so unique. I just started noticing in competitive, I started not caring. I started just being like, you know, guys, I don't care if I do bad. I'm just playing for fun. And I could tell my chat on Twitch, they started, were like, man, what happened? Like we notice you're not having fun anymore. And we notice you don't care. And it took me that to realize, I'm like, I feel bad. Like, I don't want to display this to them. Like, I don't care, which yeah. I really did, but people were starting to get better. And I was just like, I don't want to change minds. I don't want to work on getting better right now. So Warzone came out. It was a perfect opportunity for me. It was Call of Duty. And I slowly eased into it. I was doing half Fortnite, half Warzone. And I just started to slowly transition. I was doing well. There was tournaments, which was the big thing. If there were no tournaments, I probably wouldn't have got as sucked in, because I'm very, like, just a competitive person. That's pretty much how it all started.
So you say you've had a history of COD. Like, how far back are we talking?
So I played all the way in Call of Duty, like, 4, like the original Modern Warfare, back on PS3. And I played all of them, MW2, like, I played pubs on all of them. And then when it came Black Ops 2, it's when I started doing GBs and stuff. And then, like, I started doing wagers and all that stuff like that. So I was a wager kid and a GB kid for, like, years before Fortnite came out.
So someone with your kind of, like, skills, and especially with the controller, how come you never tried to go pro, or did you, and did it not work out? What happened?
It was always, like, a dream, I guess, you know, to be, like, a pro player. I think I just didn't. I kind of did different things. So, like, I did a lot of, like, quick scoping, and like, there was, like, a YouTube channel. It was called 1v1 Leaderboards. And basically, like, you would earn rankings and stuff. Like, I did that for a while. I did a lot of like, radar on GB. So basically the minimap would be enabled and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was, like, kind of like a game of chess, but it was different. So I always noticed I found myself playing different things compared to, like, you know, Variant and normal SND and stuff like that. And I think that kind of took away from, like, actual practice I could have been getting. But I love to just do the little, like, small things. And, you know, I made a lot of money actually doing those things. So I just did what I enjoyed.
We'll talk about Warzone in a minute, but what do you make of Cold War then? You know, coming into this game, you'd be playing really well in Warzone, and then Cold War gets released. Firstly, what are your thoughts on the game? And secondly, that competitive itch, did it come back and think, I could do this?
So, first thoughts, when I first played Cold War, I wasn't the biggest fan. I don't know what it was about it. It just, I think it was the health bars, and it kind of gave me that, like, IW and Black Ops 4 feel, which I didn't really play those ones all that much. So I figured maybe I was being a little bit biased. Like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, health bars don't belong in COD. And, you know, it's just a newer style COD. Didn't feel like older COD, right? I think that's what everyone's expecting. And that's not how it's going to be. So I started playing it more on my own will. Like, I started playing wagers and stuff with Mutex. And I started, you know, I'm going for camos right now. And I've been having a lot more fun. I like the movement. I like that it's not, like, too fast paced. Like, you still have the sliding and you have the mechanics, and it's not, like, too crazy. Like, no B hops. It kind of has the old, like, slower, like, Black Ops 2, MW2, like, yeah, running feel. And then, you know, you got the sliding and you can G slide off of ledges a little bit. I like it. It's growing onto me. And I think the people that don't play it, they just need to play it and, like, just let it grow onto them. Just accept it.
Yeah. That, to be honest, we've heard a lot of people saying that the more they play it, the more they fall in love with it. So could you see it replacing Warzone as your primary game at the moment?
At the moment, so the main reason I'm playing Cold War is I am playing wagers, but I'm really excited for the Cold War integration into Warzone. That's the main reason I'm playing it. I'm trying to earn, like, level up my guns and earn camos, so I have them for Warzone when it comes out. That's the main reason. I don't really see myself, like, switching. I think I would still play it like frequently. Like if League Play comes out, I would love to grind that. Always fun. You know, when new Zombies content comes out, I would love to play that. Even like Zombies games with my stream. That's just little things like that. It's always fun to do. And it's still COD. So, you know, it's not like I'm switching and I'm going and playing World of Warcraft. Like my chat is all right, you know, with a little Cold War. So I definitely plan on playing both the games, but right now, I'll probably grind Cold War, and then once December 10th hits, I'm going to be grinding Warzone.
What would you like to see changed in Cold War then over the next couple of months?
If I could see any changes in Cold War, I actually really like the guns right now. I'd probably like to see a gun added. I think everyone can agree with that. Just having guns added is definitely preferred. My big thing, League Play and new Zombies maps. I don't really grind multiplayer like that. So I don't care too much about multiplayer maps, but I'm happy to see they brought Nuketown in. That was a great change. More camos. People love camos and customizable features. One thing I'm sad that they don't have is back in Black Ops 1, you could change pretty much everything on your reticle. You could use a blue or a pink red dot, like a pink dot. And you could change the color of your reticle. And I don't understand why they don't do little things like that anymore, because I feel like the smallest things like that, like the blue dot in Warzone, you know how many people grinded for that? Like a blue dot. And if you could maybe like earn different colors for each scope just by using that scope, something as small as that, man, it would make grinding the game so much more fun. And that's just one thing. And then just camos, things in the shop. I'm excited for that to come out because they don't really have anything yet.
Awesome. So look, let's go back to Warzone and talk Warzone for a second. Obviously the integration is going to come. It's going to stay on the same engine. But we're going to start having the weapons and the characters over.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it about Warzone that kind of, apart from being a Call of Duty, that was appealing to you at first? Like, what is it about the gameplay, for example?
Mm-hmm. I think one thing is the movement. I really do like Modern Warfare movement. And like just the small things like the slide canceling and the B hops. I love B hopping. I think just little things like that can, like, if you're mechanically better, it just, there's more skill gap. Like it just makes more of a difference. And I like that. Another thing I really liked about Warzone, which was new, I believe, to Battle Royales, was the buy shop where you could buy like UAVs and stuff like that. And to actually see UAVs, that's a good one added, because I don't think any other Battle Royales really did that. It's just integrating COD and Battle Royale together. I mean, they just did it so well. And the custom classes as well. The fact that you could earn attachments, I think that helped a lot of people like grind and use different guns. And, you know, I think the custom classes was like amazing in it.
So you're a controller player and you're going into lobbies, skill-based matchmaking. You're probably going up against a lot of PC players, or you play on PC yourself, but you know, they obviously mix the inputs as well.
Yeah.
The controller versus mouse and keyboard has obviously been one that's been a fiery debate across Fortnite. You come over to Warzone, it's exactly the same. So where do you stand on it? What, you know, have you played on mouse and keyboard on this game? And, you know, do you think it's harder, easier? Where do you stand on it?
So I actually have played, I've played mouse and keyboard on both Fortnite and Warzone. So I kind of have understood them for a while. I understand their frustration, like with aim assist and stuff like that. And realistically, it's never going to be fair in the same sense. I think aim assist one of the main things that people dislike about controller. And I think aim assist is used as a bridge so that mouse and keyboard players and controller players can play in the same lobbies, and it is somewhat fair. I actually said this a couple days ago or like a week ago on stream that I do think, I don't know. I feel like if everyone was just on the same input in the future, I think it would be perfect. Like there'd be no excuses. Everyone's using their own skill. I would not even be mad if gaming in the future was all mouse and keyboard. I really wouldn't, because I think it is the future. Yeah, like I think overall controller's better because of like aim assist. Like you just hit more shots. But then if you watch some good players like Huskers and them, Huskers has some really good mechanics. I notice he crouches a lot. Like he'll just crouch behind cover and duck up. I don't see controller players move like that. So I think they both have their own advantages. And I think at the end of the day, controller is easier to play. So I think more people just end up playing with that.
What would you like to see changed in the next, you know, in Warzone? Would you like to, you know, for example, new maps, camos, whatever. Like, what do you want to see with Warzone? What do you want to see change to keep it fresh?
I would love to see like newer map, of course, like new POIs, you know, maybe get some older COD. I would love to see like a slums or like a raid or something. And just like an old, like nostalgic map kind of thrown in there, get some Cold War like maps maybe in there. Definitely just something different. I would love to see new rotation, maybe a new vehicle. I feel like we haven't seen a new vehicle in a while. One thing I've been raving about for them that they should add and they should make so much use of is the buy station system. They could add so many kill streaks and little things to that, which they haven't taken advantage of. I don't even know if they've added anything since release.
They've added a few things, like
A few, but they
were nothing crazy. It's pretty similar.
Nothing crazy. I'm telling you, they should add a new like kill streak or something like that.
What kill streak? Another thing, what COD kill streak would you bring?
That's a good one. I've thought about this, and I'm like, it can't be one that's too OP. You know what I mean? Like even something as small as like a RCXD, like something like that. Like I don't know. I'm sure they'll probably have a better imagination than I do, but the last thing is actually something I got from Cold War, and it's been in other CODs before. I really like how they have Ghost. It only works if you're moving. So if you're camping in a corner, Ghost won't work. I think that might be a great addition. I know a lot of people love their Ghost, but I feel like it's just kind of annoying when someone's just sitting there with Ghost and you can't detect them at all. So I think that'd be a great integration to add to Ghost. And I might be biased because I'm a bot racer and a pub slayer, so I'm just trying to get the campers out, but I think it'd be a great addition.
No, that's awesome. Okay, cool. Well, look, I think what we're going to do is we're going to ask you some quick questions, just kind of round this out. So although it is a quick question, feel free to kind of please give a bit of an explanation as to why. So first off, favorite Call of Duty gun of all time?
Oh, favorite Call of Duty gun of all time. I'm going to say the intervention from MW2. Just the feeling of quick scoping on MW2, the people that got to play it, they know that gun. It was so smooth. Everything about it aimed in nice. The sound overall, probably my favorite gun. I probably had spent the most time with it.
Favorite Warzone gun.
Favorite Warzone gun. Ooh, I'm going to get a lot of crap for this one. Listen, it's OP. I know. I'm going to say the Origin, you know, I was like the first one to kind of make it like popping, and like I used it in tournaments and people were like, what is this gun? And everyone started to transition. That was like the start of my shotgun era. So I'm going to give the Origin my favorite.
Was that like an ode to Fortnite as well? The shotgun.
Is it what?
Was it like an ode, like a tribute to Fortnite using the shotgun in Warzone?
Kind of. I just felt like, I felt like I was experienced with shotguns. Like I was pretty good with them and nobody used them. And I was like, dude, these things gotta be useful. So I kind of just, they were just good.
Favorite just point.
Good. And I was good at positioning myself. So
favorite point on the map.
Ooh, I'm going to have to say Superstore. I think a lot of the bot racers and content creators can agree with me. It's the hot drop to go, man. And I like there's a lot of actually like little tricky spots you can go into to take advantage people don't know about. So I love Superstore.
One place on the map to get rid of and replace.
Oh, one place on the map to get rid of. Wow. I think prison's gotta go. We gotta chalk prison. I was gonna say downtown because it's kind of more in the center of the map and people that just sit in those skyscrapers, man, nobody wants to walk up 20 flights of stairs to get to you, buddy, just to find out it's one guy with a sniper on the roof. You know what? Most people would say prison. I might scrap downtown. Honestly, I'm going to pick downtown. Nobody likes those campers up in those buildings.
Nice. Who's your favorite Call of Duty streamer to watch?
Favorite Call of Duty streamer. I'm going to have to say probably Mutex. I know I might be a little biased because I play with him a lot, but watching him and like learning about him, he really cares about his community. I mean, he literally opted out of the Huskers Howl 200K tournament because he had a sub-tournament scheduled and he didn't want to cancel it. Now, if that doesn't show that he doesn't care about his community, I mean – I made like $30,000 in that tournament. And like, he opted out of it because he wanted to like do stuff for his community. So I give him mad props. He's a genuine guy. Oops, I just tapped my mic. He's a genuine guy. And he's my favorite streamer right now on Call of Duty.
Who's the best Call of Duty Warzone player in the world apart from yourself?
Man, I'm going to have to give it to Huskers just for all the accomplishments he's done. I think it's hard to take it away from him. I have a couple other players that I have in mind, but he's accomplished the most, so I'm going to give it to him for sure.
We always ask this, so we're just going to throw it in. Favorite sandwich.
Okay. Favorite sandwich. Ooh. You know what? There's a sandwich. Are we talking about restaurant sandwich or like homemade?
I mean, you can go wild.
All right.
Eat whatever you want, man. If someone says, look, this is your last ever sandwich, what are you taking?
Okay. All right. I'm going with my, I have this, there's this restaurant. It's in a kind of the Ohio area. There might be one in like Pittsburgh or something. It's called Fatheads. It's so good. It's a brewery. They give you so much food. Like if you order like a sandwich, it always comes with fries. It's so much food. It's this sandwich. It's called Matt's Chicken Dance. It's got this chicken. It's like Parmesan cheese on it. It's like crusted Parmesan cheese with this like red mayo or red cherry mayo or something, egg, tomato. So good. I love it. That's my favorite sandwich. If I had to say like at home, my girlfriend makes a fire grilled cheese with some ham and some egg too. I would love that.
I'm hungry now. Okay. So before I let you go, I just want to talk quickly about the Warzone record that you pulled off recently, where I think it was 60 kills you got in solos versus trios.
Quads.
Oh, solo quad. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So when you were playing, when did you kind of think I'm in the running here? And also when you saw a Juggernaut drop onto the field, did you think your chances had drastically reduced?
So I saw the Jug when I was at about 30 kills and I thought it was going to ruin the game. I thought I was going to end up running into around 45, 50 kills and just be done. But thankfully, he was the last person I had to deal with. It was like a story, man. Like I had to kill the Jug for a 60. I don't know. That's ridiculous. It was just crazy. But I knew I was in the running for the record once I hit like, because even when I had 30 kills, there was only like 33 left. And when I was at around 45, people kept getting revived. Like I was at like 45 with like 12 left. And then it went up to like 18 or 19, something crazy like that. And at that point I'm like, oh my gosh, I can be the first person to ever get a 60. And I just, nobody was dying. Like it was a perfect lobby. I couldn't have been any more lucky than that. And I just ended up securing every kill and like picking off teams one by one and everything just worked out. It was crazy.
I mean, the reaction moment, you just look so calm, like when you're doing it, it's almost like this is a normal situation. I mean, in those high pressure situations, you know, how do you try and keep yourself calm?
I try to not freak out too much because I know if I get nervous, my heart's going to start racing. I'm going to start to make mistakes. And I've always tried to do this even when I was competing in Fortnite, people are always like, this guy's the straight face killer. Like he doesn't do anything. And I always just try to play calm while I'm playing. I'm really not ever like too nervous. Like I think it's because I'm kind of carefree. Like even in tournaments, like if I lose, I'm not mad at my teammate. I'm not mad. You know, I'm lucky enough to be in here and I'm just literally playing games for fun. Like I don't know. I never take it that serious. And I think that's what helps me out.
Awesome. Well, look, Aiden, really appreciate you taking the time out. If people want to find you on your various socials, do you want to give a quick shout out?
Yes. If you guys want to check me out on Twitter, it is just at Aiden. I stream on Twitch all the time at twitch.tv/Aiden. I just got my Instagram back. It's Aiden Temp right now. And also TikTok is Aiden Temp. So if you guys want to check me on social media, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for taking the time out. Thanks, Aiden, for coming on. It was great to speak to him. Obviously really insightful, a lot of knowledge, and you know, for such a young guy, he seems to be kind of have his head screwed on a lot more than, you know, a lot of other content creators out there, which you know, I'm glad to see because he's getting a lot of success, and you know, it doesn't appear to be at all going to his head, which is amazing. Okay, next up we're going to discuss the game that founded Warzone, Modern Warfare. There is more content coming to it, so for all those people listening or watching who are fans of Modern Warfare, do not worry. Keshav, take it away. What's been said?
Yeah, so a lot of people were worried this week when that Season 6 Battle Pass timer ended in-game, but rest assured they did reset that timer for a couple weeks, but more importantly, one of their lead developers on Twitter has said there is still more content coming, but they might not call it a new season. There's more content coming, and they'll have more information to share. So for those of you who have been enjoying Modern Warfare, which I know is a lot of players, even though there is some, you know, debate about which game is their favorite, I know there's a lot of players still playing Modern Warfare today. You'll have more content soon. And I think more details are going to be released as we get closer to that Season 1 Warzone Black Ops Cold War integration.
Yep. So Keshav, I think that's the end of the show. Now, of course, people watching or listening, you know, this podcast comes out once a week. We might occasionally have specials that come out midweek as well. But make sure you check out charlieintel.com. We've actually put more writers and more resource into the website. So there's actually way more content than there's ever been. We're doing guides. We started to cover a little bit of other games. But make sure you check that out and also check out the Charlie Intel Twitter, which is closing in on 2 million followers, which is going to be amazing when we finally reach that goal. It's obviously been something we've kind of wanted for a while, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing. Obviously, mainly down to your hard work, Keshav, so appreciate that. Do you have anything to say about the content coming out at the moment?
I think, you know, we've got a couple weeks till the Season 1 to go. So, you know, be sure to keep notifications on for Charlie Intel Twitter. We'll have, you know, all the news that you ever need on Season 1, you know, how to get access, downloads, all that stuff. So it's coming up soon. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and we'll be putting out tweets this week as well on the Charlie Intel Twitter for upcoming guests. So if you have any questions for those guys, please make sure you reply to those. And of course, if you have any questions or any comments about the Charlie Intel podcast, please hit myself or Keshav up on Twitter. Mine's Deserto Mike, and Keshav's is Keshav Bat, BHAT. That's all for this week. Thanks for taking the time out to watch. We'll be back next Friday with another episode.